Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. I am talking in a weird voice, something that makes it seem a little storybook. I am at Universal Studios, Universal Theme Park, Universal or Florida. I'm in Florida. I don't know how I got here. Some guys knocked me over the head when I was in Federal Way, Washington, and now I'm in Universal Park by myself. Truth is, I got flown down here for a gig. But wait, let's not get ahead of ourselves. How are you? It's always rude when someone just launches into their own life without checking in on the person they're talking to. How are you doing? Is everything okay? Is your week all right? Nothing too dramatic. Little minor annoyances, but nothing completely nuts. Good. Thank you to everybody who came out to Vallejo, California last Friday, and Federal Way, Washington. Beautiful new theater in Federal Way, and the Empress Theater in Vallejo. Great shows, great weekend, super cool. A lot of people came out, had a swell time, and wanted to thank everybody for that. As you know, I am out hard on the road right now. Go to tompapa.com for all of the dates. I think we've sold out Boston. We're almost sold out in Chicago. We have Indiana. We have San Francisco. We've got Washington, D.C. We've got a live Come to Papa next week. I'm here in Orlando, but I'm going up to New York to do Come to Papa Live next Tuesday with the great Greer Barnes. Dave Hill, Rachel Feinstein, Ted Alexandro. It's going to be a good show. Jim Norton. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. That'll be next Tuesday. So, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, but if you do, you'll see that after Paul and I did our show last week, where I was kind of maintaining, not too fluey, getting through it, I kind of went down hard. I don't know if you can say I technically had the flu. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if that's exactly what got me or not. But I wasn't well. I have not been sick in years. And then all of a sudden, a little chills, a little fever. When I get sick, it doesn't go, this is so gross, but it doesn't go usually up and out the nose. It usually is in the back of the throat, which is very bad for performing. So all week, I was just trying to maintain and hydrate and do all this stuff. Don't you have that thing when you get sick? Like, you know, I actually read that there's a, they did a study, I think, with rats or something. When there's inflammation caused by the flu, the rats would not want to socialize, not interested in sex, don't eat too much, very lethargic, just laying around. That's kind of what I had. And I was like, you know what? I see people like Bill Gates and that guy that runs Virgin America and all these go-getters of the world. I always read these stories and hear these tales of when people have, oh, and he had the flu and he still fought Frasier. Or he had the flu and he still gave that speech. I'm like, maybe it's just a total state of mind. Maybe if you get sick, it doesn't mean you have to stop doing your stuff. So I had auditions, I had meetings, I had shows, and then it started getting a hold of me, and I had to cancel on some friends. I had to cancel a show with Jeff Garland and Zach Galifianakis and Adam Sandler. Had to bail. I just couldn't do it because I had to get up to Federal Way and do my shows. I just was like, there was a limit. I was kind of plowing through as much as I could, but then having to tap the brakes a little bit. I went up, did those shows kind of okay, maintained. The shows were good. I got through the performances fine. But I think there definitely is something to acting like these successful people is what I'm trying to say. I think that if you run, if you're Elon Musk, you're probably not going to just get under a blanket and sit there for the week. Won't happen. You also probably get shot with some space bacteria that nobody else gets. But I took my Mucinex. I took my Coldies. I pounded the vitamin C. And I know people have had the flu for a couple of weeks. Mine was about a week, and I still was able to function somewhat. So I think, my friends, having an attitude that like you're not going down is helpful. Now, Paul, who is not here, by the way, he could not make it to Orlando. Paul would say, I should not be going out and doing stuff because that's how you spread the flu. And there is something true to that, but I didn't really do it while I was feverish. But I feel like you do have to kind of get out there and move around and do your thing. Here's the one part. And I'm not completely 100% because in that time I had to travel so much and go. I went to, you know, Northern California, Washington State, back to L.A., down to Orlando. On the flight, the Southwest flight going up to California. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It has happened to me before, so I knew what was up. But what a nightmare. A little stuffy in your head. Leaving on Southwest from Burbank, they take off so fast. It's a short runway. They have to blast it and pitch up high really quickly. So the pressure changes really quickly. There's not a gradual rise where your ears kind of adjust. This thing, Southwest, which I know doesn't sound like a daredevil airline, they punch that Southwest flight. You go straight up. This isn't military grade, but my ear got blocked immediately on my left side. And I'm telling you, worse than any bed spins from drinking, just the whole place is spinning around. I immediately am holding on to the armrests. I am trying to get my ear to pop, but literally everything is spinning. When you close your eyes, you feel like you're spinning. Open them, staring at the little handle on the tray lock, spinning, just spinning out of control. I am nauseous. I could not stand up if I even wanted to. I immediately started sweating. Sweat's pouring down my face. I'm just taking deep breaths. I'm moving my mouth open and closed, trying to get the pressure to release. Because I know there's it's going to hit a point where it's going to pop. There will be a moment where it will pop, and God willing, it won't go forever. The woman comes and starts doing the drinks. I'm still in a bad shape. You ever, like, you try and keep normal, you're trying to be all right, and then somebody else looks at you and gets a horrified look in your face, like you're thinking, I'm doing okay. All right, I'm a little sweaty. Things are still dizzy, but I'm getting there. I'm okay. And then she looked at me like, oh my God, are you okay? Didn't say it out loud. It wasn't that bad, but that's what her eyes said. And I was just like, water. By the time she left to get the drink, my ear popped. And it wasn't a complete pop, but it literally sounds like a balloon, like if you were to twist a balloon, like that screechy. When that happens, this release of pressure in my head, at least everything stops spinning. It's still a little clogged. I am totally wrecked and nauseous, but I would be able to stand up. This happened to me before. Years ago when I had the similar thing out of Burbank on Southwest, it's all those elements. I really thought I was going down. So then I get out of the plane at the end of it. Paul's on that flight, did not sit with me. We, you know, in Southwest you get the numbers, and I got on early, and Sinbad was on the flight, who I had done a show with recently. So Sinbad and I are talking, then Paul decides, I'm going to go sit by myself. I'm like, I'm saving the seat for him. He never shows up. I'm like, where is Paul? He went in the back door, which you can do in Burbank because you're entering from the outside. And I'm telling people, no, they can't sit there. They can't sit there. People are angry with me. And then I look back, and there's Paul waving from like the ass end of the flight. He said, I thought you were going to hang out with Sinbad. I didn't want to. Paul. So Paul wasn't there for my dizziness, which it actually worked out better. You don't want in a situation like that, you don't want people saying, can I help you? Are you okay? You want to just kind of hunker down and do it. That's why people never tell other people that they're sick, like really sick. They don't want the questions. They don't want the evaluation. You kind of just hole up and do it on your own. Not that Dr. Morrissey would have been much of a help, but I was better off being alone. I remember reading as a kid, like when dogs are getting really sick and they're about to die, you'll find them under a porch by themselves because they just need to be alone. That's kind of how I felt, just sitting there. Finally get through it, get out of the plane, hook up with Paul. Don't really even tell him what happened. Long story of how we get to the hotel, because the promoter had to take me. Paul needed a car because he's driving somewhere the next day. I just got back, got my ass. I've been sick all week, flu-y, fevery. Now my head is exploding, spinning around like crazy. I am in a hotel room and just pass out, praying that I'm going to have a voice for Vallejo, California. And this is the weird thing about performing. You end up an hour before the show, your body and mind starts freaking out because they know you're going into this weird situation. It corrects everything. Go up on stage, no problem. Show's over, come back, pass out, back to not feeling so hot. There is something to that being on stage that completely, if you could bottle that, you would never end up having any kind of flu or any kind of illness. Amazing. So I get through the show, then Paul bails, I go to Federal Way, come back home, and then come to Orlando. So here I sit in Orlando. It is Tuesday, and I am like literally in a hotel that's done up like Hawaii. My family couldn't come because they have a life of their own. And I have to do another show here in a couple days for the same people. It's like a company that hired me. And there is, I am a grown man at a theme park by myself. That is where I find myself. I am watching the TV where they are showing Harry Potter World, the whole family in their cloaks going to get their wands and their butter beer. There are water slides. There's families down on the lazy river, going on roller coasters, all of it. This show is in the afternoon, by the way. Yeah, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I am done with my show. And now what does a man do when he's by himself in a theme park? Do I go on the rides? I don't think so. Do I get a wand? I don't think so. What am I going to do? My parents are down here in Florida somewhere. I might go see them. I think something about being by the theme park. Look, when you're going with your family and you, if you have your kids, you do stupid stuff. You go play mini golf. You go eat at the Hard Rock Cafe. You pay through the ass for horrible pizza. You're buying souvenirs. You're just burning your credit card just so these kids have a little bit of an adventure. There's no adventure you're going to conjure up in this gigantic theme park that is going to interest me in any regard. You know what I mean? What am I going to do? Go sit in a Hard Rock Cafe bar by myself? And here's the other thing. I just did the show for 500 people. They're all crawling around the hotel. What am I going to go get boozed up by myself with a bunch of people who are getting liquored up on their last night here? I can't be doing that. I got stuff to do. So I'm kind of trapped. I am in exile. I am trapped in this hotel. Don't know where to eat. Don't know what to do. I have a ton of writing to do, so that's good. But it is just so funny to be in a... This must be what it's like when you work at Disney. When you're the guy that works Disney, that's your workplace. You're not excited about the mouse twirling down Main Street. That's your workplace. It really feels silly. I want my children to be a little cynical and a little jaded, but on the other side of it, you don't want to like rail against everything there is in life that's stupid amusement. I'm very conflicted. You want them to be individuals. You don't want them to follow the herd. You don't want to, part of me doesn't want them to go to Harry Potter Land and ride the Transformers. And because there's the comedian part of me is like, oh, you're just a sucker. You're just a sucker. Can't you see they're just taking your money? Can't you see it's all stupid? Can't you see there's been 1,000 people in that pool? Millions of people every year have been coming through here with this unique experience. The comedian in me sees the insanity with all that stuff. And I want to... you want your family not to be a bunch of rubes. You don't want them being a sucker for all the dumb stuff. But then again, what's wrong with it? I guess. You want to break your own way and go, do something else. You go hike through the mountains of Colorado or experience things that aren't this. But sometimes the easy commercial way, I don't know. What the hell is wrong with it? Is it any different than going to a Patriots game or a Yankee game? You're a rube there, spending $20 a beer, what have you, to see some kind of entertainment. You're a rube doing any of this stuff. Like, why should you crap on everything, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I'm looking out right now, out the window. You know, the kids are having a blast. They're floating around in the pool. They're jumping. Another two over here playing ping pong. Take a kid from wherever and bring him down to Florida. He gets to see palm trees and bamboo and play ping pong and then jump in a pool. Problem is, you know, when you're around for a long time, when you've been a human being, you know how much pee is in that pool. You know that as a man who just got over the flu, the grabbing that ping pong racket and ordering food from the dirty glasses that they have at the poolside may not be the most germ-free environment. But that's old man talking. You don't want to live life as an old cranky-ass man. There goes a boat. There literally goes a boat. There is a boat on the outskirts of the hotel filled with people in a fake lagoon driving their fake boat to some fake island to drink fake drinks. Is that moronic? Yes. Yes, it totally is moronic. Should you have one rum drink, let your guard down and have some fun? Yes. Why the hell not? So I guess the lesson to my kids is, you know what? It's all varying degrees of stupidity. Some, if you work your ass off or you get lucky and you end up with the FU money that the 1/10 of the top 1% has, and you go to your fancy-ass Four Seasons on some private island, all that is a better game. It's a better con job. It's just a more elegant con. But there's people there every night when you're running around doing your work and doing your living your life. You think that that place, that beautiful $1,500 a night room, is just sitting waiting for you? No. It's got some other lucky bastard taking his pants off and sitting with his ass on that couch. So what I'm saying is, like, the finer things doesn't make it more unique or more special. It's just a different, it's a fancier con. So if you don't have, like, that kind of dough, roll into the Hawaiian hotel in Orlando, sit on a lounge chair, get a pina colada. You know, I guess what more do you want? Part of me can't even believe I'm saying that. You know, I don't know. All I know is when you come in as a comedian and you're writing jokes and writing sketches and doing all this stuff, it's hard to sit in a place like this and not judge the hell out of it. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. Combination of being an old dude and a comedian. That is a pretty cynical, cool kid at the edge of the, cool kid at the in the back of the classroom. That guy is going to be ripping stuff apart. So, where to eat? I have a physical coming up. I have dropped 10 pounds. 10. Now, granted, it's from the bloated height of the holidays. I'm going from my highest point of filled with sugar, salt, booze, all of it. I'm going from that most bloated. I probably dropped 4 pounds just coming home after the holidays and having a big long pee. Then I just decided to clean up. And as you know, we went dry January. No booze. Into the flu. More no booze. We're in the middle of February. I've had one night of drinking, I think. And still eating bread like a crazy person. Not really trying to, you know, go too hardcore. But your pal Tommy has dropped 10 solid pounds. I can tell because my shirts kind of fit again. And there's nothing worse when you're putting on a button-down shirt and that you've been wearing for 2 years and your buttons are straining. When you move at all and that little space between the buttons opens up, that's it's time to deflate. Look, I'm not saying I'm trying to be a model. I'm not saying it's time to start going hardcore exercise. Just, you know when you've reached your own personal limit. And I reached it and am now retreated. And now, when you're in a place like this, you know, what are you going to do? Go out to a place and get like a giant meal, but sit there by yourself? Maybe you'll get room service. That's always a good thing. The other problem is when you do, like I was just doing the show, and you walk through the back of these hotels to go to these ballrooms and stuff where the stages are. My first job ever was working in a Hilton hotel as a kid. I'm telling you, the backs of hotels always, always, always smell and look the same. They smell, they have a weird old food, steamy rubber floor seafood combo smell. They all smell that way. They all look that way. They all have the same trays. They all have the same stuff. And I like it. It's kind of, you know, it's the reality behind the illusion. It's the backstage, the nuts and bolts of what it's all about. And I like doing it. It means that you're in show business. It means that you're in the back of the seeing how things work. What it is not good for is then saying, let me get some room service, because I know where that food's coming from. I don't care what kind of tray you put it on. I don't care what kind of garnish is laid out on the tray. I know where the food came from, and it ain't special. Being here in Florida, there is a... you cannot get away from the horrible shooting news from that horrible school incident. There is a ton of it, of Florida, of people debating and trying to figure stuff out. I was moved to tears when I watched those kids quietly laying down in protest at the White House. These just high school children quietly laying down. It just made me sad that, like, my generation, who's in charge now and who are the grown-ups, can't seem to figure out a way to protect our own children. It's such a depressing analysis of my own generation. It just makes me feel shitty that we're just letting down all these kids. I'm not getting into a gun debate. I'm just saying, whatever it is, fix it, do it. And we're not. We're just doing nothing. So these poor kids that don't get shot have to just like lay down on the ground. So I posted a picture of it on Instagram just because I was moved. And I'm disgusted. And these kids are brave. So I just posted the picture and said, good, go kids, go. And of course, all these creepy old people make their own assumptions on what that means. For Trump, against Trump, for guns, against guns. It's so depressing and moronic that these people, these old people, I'm calling them old people, anyone that older than college, old people, can see a picture of our children, our American children laying on the ground, and then immediately go into whatever camp you are, whatever brainwashed camp you think you're independently a part of, and just start railing, like use that image of children and then start railing your own opinions on gun control and mental health and what Republican or liberal or whatever. It's so, I'm waiting for something to happen where the people who are yelling so much on both sides kind of wake up and realize that you have been conned. Like, why you are that all in on this team of yours. Like, don't you see that you're like a sucker? Like, there's no freedom in that. So anyway, I just get aggravated that all of these old people start breaking out their old arguments in the face of what these kids are trying to do. So let's just go back into our corners and start ripping each other apart rather than listen to a 16-year-old kid for 5 minutes and be like, holy shit, are we losers that we can't reach across the aisle, that we can't help each other out, that we can't together do something so our kids don't have to do that. That's the only discussion. And if you're against that, if you're against helping our children not be frightened when they get dropped off to go to their school, which is already in its best case is an excruciating thing for a child to do. If you can't agree that your petty little Republican and Democratic sides should be put aside and just have a holy shit moment, like let's do something. If you're not one of those people, I can't talk to you. I can't. Cannot. Thing is, there are, I think many more people who are good and do think that way. And the problem is when you just agree quietly, you don't make as much noise as some horrible person saying something horrible on a social media feed. And you always got to keep that in mind, especially when when you're scrolling through this stuff. It's like, the people that want to generate hate and do all that stuff, it doesn't take much. You just put one tweet out and, you're riling people up and doing stuff. There's millions more that are looking at it and not commenting. I wouldn't say millions more on my feed. I can say that the most hits I've ever gotten on my feed was two kangaroos. And it wasn't comedy that I was doing. It wasn't, I'm not political on there. It wasn't anything like about my career or my jokes. It was two kangaroos scratching each other's bellies, looking like my parents trying to figure out what to eat next. I think that got me literally the most views. So I'm not going to say millions of people are looking at my feed and quietly agreeing, but I think that's what we all should think about our own social media is that, there's only 100 comments and 50 of them are from people like you would never even want to have a discussion with in a bus stop. But there are millions looking at my stuff and quietly agreeing. I think that's pretty much where you should land. I am enjoying doing that joke in my act right now about that people are getting depressed about social media and they should, because they're looking at everybody's lives and on social media, people are having these amazing lives and they feel like losers. And it's, you shouldn't get depressed because they're showing you their best part. That's what you're posting. the thing that makes it look like a cool life. Look at us in Paris. I think I did it on Conan. Look at us in Paris. We're awesome. Yeah. They don't show you the pictures of them 2 hours at baggage claim trying to find their lost luggage. No one's posting that. No one's posting a picture of their husband having diarrhea in their French hotel room because he ate a French tart that he shouldn't have eaten. You're not seeing that post. Everyone's life is the same. You watching the Olympics? I'm watching a ton of Olympics. I love it always. I'm always moved. I'm always brought to tears by just the pure joy and hard work and all the rest of it. But I also, as the rhythm of the Winter Olympics always have, I am done with skating. I cannot watch one more flamboyant couple looking like the European soccer guys who pretend to fall. The operatic drama of the skating, I just cannot. I'm done. At first, it's cool. Look at that guy. Look at that girl. They're amazing. I can't believe all those flips they got going on. All cool. But then you just reach a point where I can't do it anymore. I just can't watch it. Right now, curling is on the television, and don't understand this at all. It's almost like it's made for jokes. It's just so ridiculous that it's made for people to laugh at, I guess, with your little squeegee. And not the most exciting. The funny thing is how serious they take it. Just seeing these, I mean, they all look like us, don't they? I mean, nobody that's curling looks any better shape than the people in the audience. Nobody. One or two might look a little in shape, but no better than the most in shape person in the crowd. No, these people they're just like us. Misshapen, wearing funny running shoes, tucking in when they shouldn't, and there they are at the Olympics. There are certain things that the Winter Olympics are hopeful. My children look at it and they're like, why couldn't I sleigh ride in the Olympics? Why shouldn't I get a luge and give it a shot? I'm a little confused by where we stand. We're getting our asses kicked, by the way. Oh, and let me put a shout out to Norway. Norway, who is kicking ass with the most medals of everybody. They're going to break a record that I think the Americans held in Vancouver. We are getting our butts kicked. I mean, this is not a good Olympics for us. Let's be perfectly honest. We had some amazing Chloe Kims and Sean Whites and been some good surprises, but overall, we are not racking up the medals at all. We're getting our butts kicked. Norway, by the way, not only are they kicking ass and taking names, another great feat by Norway is that they are one of the highest listenerships to this podcast. Yes. Yes, Norway. And I keep telling myself, I'm going to wait until I'm back with Paul. We need to do an all Norway podcast. I was shocked by the numbers that we do in Norway. Shocked. I mean, I know you're good people. I know you have a great sense of humor. But how we have spread in Norway, I am not sure. It's just, you know, as a guy from New Jersey, you're kind of shocked when people from a place as cool as Norway are listening to your show. So thank you for listening all the time, and thank you for kicking ass, and congratulations for kicking ass at the Olympics. I'm not going to say congratulations because you're taking some away from us Americans. I want to come to Norway. My kids want to go to Norway. There's a couple spots that they really want to hit in Norway. this is going to happen. We're going to keep this relationship going. There is right now, China is doing the curling, and they look pretty efficient. I like to be the person that just quietly lets it go, quietly releases. Is this the final week? We should be getting towards the end, right? What is it, Tuesday? We can't be going much further, I would think. Have not seen a lot of bobsled. Very disappointed about that. I do like the giant slalom. Don't have time to watch a whole hockey game. Don't have time to watch an entire cross-country ski event. I would like to buy one of those curling things. How heavy are those? I'd like to get one of those just for home use, like as a paperweight, a big-ass paperweight on like the coffee table. Can you buy those? What are the curling things called? See, I just did it. This is why this is why the Olympics are exciting and interesting. It's because you can't remember all this stuff, and then every 4 years you're like, wait, so what's that called? Wait, how do you get the points? Wait, why is she doing that? That's what my wife does as soon as we sit down. So how many runs? How many times? Who's got that score? And I have no, I don't know the answers to any of it. But that's what marriage is. You either, you field a lot of questions that the person you live with should know that you don't know any more than they do. And then it's up to you whether you lie and make up your answers. Oh, that's a, that's the iron curl. That's the iron curl ball. Yeah, and they manufacture those in Lexington, Kentucky, and they weigh 12.5 pounds, and everybody gets to do four of them. Or you just admit, I don't know. That's always, that always, you can, I can never not sound short and annoyed by just spending an entire Olympic evening going, I don't know. So how many runs do they take? I don't know. So is Lindsey Vonn going to? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Right now I'm watching it on CNBC, and they have a show called Staten Island Hustle, where they've got guys from Staten Island, bald, fat guys from Staten Island that are trying to do businesses and make money in Staten Island. It's just so you can have big, fat guys with Staten Island accents on TV yelling at each other. And I have to say, as someone who is in show business, I am shocked every day why I am not on television. How can I not be on TV? You have these guys, these are not, they did not put an act together. They did not study acting. They did not probably have any desire to be on television until people showed up and said, we're going to do those kind of shows. And now they're on TV and I'm in Orlando looking at a pool from a window. You know what I mean? I work hard on these jokes. I work hard on this act. Shark Tank, sure. That should be a show. I really like that show. The Prophet, yeah. But Staten Island Hustle, what? No, no, not doing it. So here's another question. Do I go dry January into February when I'm alone in Universal? Not likely. I think as soon as this podcast is over, I think that's when we start pouring, right? I've got a lot of time to kill. I think there might be a gummy in my toiletry. Why don't we do that? Then I won't have to. Then I won't be too confused on where to eat. Get a little gummy, and I will be at Harry Potter World. Ooh, maybe it's time to go through the luggage, see what I've got. If I've got a couple medicinal gummy worms, I wonder how late Universal stays open. I think we might be on to something. I mean, how much am I supposed to write anyway? I'm a comedian. I'm supposed to let the wand choose me. Oh. All right, guys. I'm going to be cutting this a little bit short because there's no Paul. It's never the same without when you just do it solo. But I have enjoyed this. I hope you did too. Thank you for entertaining the thoughts of a madman stuck in Orlando by himself. I look forward to doing it every week. So I don't want to, I don't like to skip. For our subscribers of the Patreon, which keeps growing, I will probably be, I'll do another one. I'll release your second podcast in a couple of days. I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to go do something stupid. And then, but I guarantee I will release it by Thursday and maybe a video component. And thank you for subscribing. It is very helpful. And thanks for going to iTunes and giving us a ranking. That is just as nice. It doesn't help pay for our future producer, but that really helps it grow and helps the reputation of the show, which is really cool. So anytime you can rank the podcast on wherever you listen, especially iTunes, though, it is greatly appreciated. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Go to TomPapa.com for all of the dates. And the new book, you can order the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, wherever you like to buy books. It's actually for sale. Whew. You won't get it till June, but you can pre-order and tell your friends about it. It's always fun to do. All right, guys. I hope you're well. Enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy your life.